Alrighty, I think we're just about streaming on Facebook and everything is ready to go. So thank you everybody for joining me. This is Michael here from I Love Real Estate. And today it's midday, it's lunchtime, it's Friday, which means it's the I Love Real Estate Success Story Show. This is the time where we catch up with one of our I Love Real Estate students and we have a good chat with them and find out what have they done? Where have they come from? And how have they utilized the training? And to give us a bit of insight, a bit of inspiration, and a different point of view of how deepness training can actually influence and affect and change our lives. So so today I've got another student here. She has been with the community for a number of years. And we should just get straight on into it and find out exactly what's happened with her. Marina, how you doing?
Hi, Michael. Doing great. Thank you. Great to be here.
Excellent. And welcome. And thank you so much for making the time available to come and have a chat with me and then sharing it within the community as well. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate it. So
thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Okay, so what we want to find out is, and give us a bit of insight, is to find a little bit about your story, about what you've done and how you've been involved with the community. But to go back prior to that, what were you doing and what was your life before you came to the community? I think that's always interesting to find out, what were you doing? Where are you coming from?
Yeah, well, I was, before the community, I guess I was in my mid-20s, kind of traveling Australia, working Australia. I was studying here, and my goal at the time was to stay in Australia to get my citizenship and residency here. So that was like my main goal. Pretty much having fun and not really thinking a lot of the future or, outside of just trying to stay here. So I came to Australia when I was 20 as a backpacker, and then fell in love with Australia, and then I was just got my student visa and was studying for a few years and trying to work out how I'm going to stay. And then I got sponsored with my job and they helped me to stay here.
Awesome.
This is pre-Ala Real Estate, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, way before, yeah. And where did you come from? Like, because it's like everyone comes from somewhere, and you obviously fell in love with the country when you came here and wanted to stay.
That's right. Well, I came from Israel. I lived in Israel for about 6 years prior coming to Australia. But before that, originally I was born in USSR at the time in a little country called Moldova. And not many people heard about it, but it's been a bit more on the news now with the war in Ukraine, because it's right on the border with Ukraine. So I grew up right on the border, about 30 kilometers from the border with Ukraine. And so grew up there till I was about 14. And when I was 14, I moved to Israel to study in boarding school. So I did my high school there and stayed in Israel and did my military service there. And after that, I went backpacking, and that's how I ended up here.
Wow. And that's obviously something that you do over in Israel as well. It's everyone does military service here.
Yeah, it's the only country in the world where it's compulsory for females as well.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Interesting. So that's an interesting, coming from a very interesting kind of background too, hey?
Yeah, we all come from somewhere, right? Yeah.
Absolutely. So then coming to Australia and backpacking around, then what happened? How did you become involved with the community? I think there was something that happened.
As I said, I was traveling, working, studying here. And then 1 year I went to Tonga for New Year's I did a woofing experience there. So working, like volunteering on the farm. And I took this little book with me, Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. Many people probably know about it. And I read it while I was there. And to me, I had no idea about finance, nothing. I didn't know about asset liabilities. I didn't know how to buy a house. I just thought, at the time, as I said, I was probably 25, 26. I thought you just save all your life. And probably when you're a bit older, you have like a stash of cash and you just buy a house like that. So, and then I read the book. And I think for me, the book was this aha moment of a passive income. And I came back to Australia and I signed up to like a property seminar on the weekend. And I went to the first one. It was just as soon as I came back. And that first one actually was the, you know, the end of the line developer when they tried to sell you for bed too bad type of thing. And I was like, oh, no, that's not for me. And the second one was Divna's one day event. And I went there with my ex-partner at the time and partner at the time. And I remember going there and we said, no matter what, we're not signing up. But we walked out with
everyone does that, don't they?
Yeah. Divna's got that effect on people, you know. Yeah. And maybe I'm a salesperson. My job is a sales manager. That's what I do for a living. And Divna did a good job selling something to me. Never regretted.
That is so common. To hear is that yes, we make an agreement before we go in. Some people even give their credit cards to their partner, or they leave it at home, or they leave it in the car or something like that to try and restrain themselves. They get in there and after morning tea or lunchtime, that's it, go and get it, we're doing this. So but that's
it's amazing, it's so worth it.
Awesome. And of course, as you know, and many students know as well, is that Rich Dad Poor Dad, Dibner often refers to that as well, quite often, that book as well. So
that just really opened my eyes. Well, kind of did a little bit of clarity for asset liabilities, etc., but also that passive income that, I didn't even know about.
Wow, yeah. So when you joined up, I mean, obviously you've come to Australia as a backpacker and you're getting your PR here and so forth, but you've got work. Did you have the funds to join? Like, was that, were you in a position to be able to go, oh yeah, this is easy for you? Or
I did it with my partner at the time and I think we just had enough funds maybe to join because you could put a little bit for, I can't remember how much was deposit, maybe $500 on the day or something, and then there was progress payments, and because it was between two of us, we just paid as we went. We didn't have money behind us or savings or anything like that.
So you came in pretty much with what you had, not a lot of equity or cash behind you at all.
Well, no equity, we didn't have property, so there's nothing like that.
So what happened? Obviously, you're kind of getting in there. You're kind of enthused. You've joined the program, not intending to. Dipner's kind of hooked you, and you've got in.
Does.
What happened? What was the first thing that happened for you?
Well, I started learning how it's done, and I remember thinking, okay, I want to do some division deal. That's and then I said, no matter what, I'm gonna save and getting a property. And I pretty much started from nothing. And I was still with my previous employer at the time that was paying very little money, but just, I set myself a goal and I said, no matter what. And I remember I started cutting back on coffees and, dinners and not buying unnecessary things and really had to kind of sacrifice for quite a while. And maybe it took me a bit short than a year, to save that just enough to get in. Well, not quite enough, because I actually found a property, put an offer. It was $220,000 at the time, and I only had $18,000 for deposit, so I was even short for deposit, but I needed 10%. So I borrowed $1,000 from a friend to put for deposit, but then I didn't have money for stamp duty. So then I had to go into to borrow, and I did a personal loan with another bank just to cover stamp duty. But that was my getting, because I remember thinking, I can wait for another few months until I have enough to get in, or I can just do it and then work out.
This is really interesting for everyone listening. It's like you've made a decision that's it. You're just going to save. You're going to do whatever you can to get yourself into your first deal. But there's another little thing here that I really want you to share, and that is that Dipna, when she first had her program, she had a big box. Catalyst Materials.
Oh, the
and then it had these audio CDs, yes, right, that you could play. And there was one that you listened to, and this is for those of you who've been in the community for a long time, you will know exactly this one that Dimna has referred to many, many times. But do you want to share a little bit about that one? Because that was one that seemed to influence you a little bit.
That's right. So when I joined, there were still CDs around, and one of them was on how you can save money. And Dimna talks about all these different tips about, you know, cutting back on this and cutting back on that. And there was one part when she talks to this trackie, I think, guy, and gives him advice on, you know, to cut back on his Coca-Cola and sausage rolls. So I kind of implemented it in my life, but like not on Coca-Cola sausage rolls because I don't consume those, but I pretty much had to cut back on things that were not necessary for me. And you know, and I remember I got to the point that I was asking myself, do I want this or do I need this? And if my answer was, I want this, but I don't need this, it was a no. Because I'm like, I've got a goal, I got to get that, you know. And as Dimna says, whenever you start out, whatever it takes, you know, you just got to do it.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. And that story, that trucky story of the Coca-Cola and sausage rolls, she did used to refer to that story so often about, you know, if you want to get into anything.
Nowadays, I think she uses coffee, and it's actually true. You know, every day you go out for coffee, it's $5, but over the course of a month or 12 months, it accumulates at the end of the day. If that's what it takes, that's what it takes, you know.
Awesome. And that's exactly what you did. You didn't have Coca-Cola's and sausage rolls, but it was coffee or other things, yeah?
Someone says the first deal is always the hardest, and I can totally agree to that, because we can go into my first deal, and I think I mentioned to you, it's, you know, because I didn't have the funds, so I had to wait until I could save a little bit to pay for whatever stage I was in subdivision at the time, you know, and then I had to save a little bit more until I could pay for it, you know.
Exactly. Awesome. So so that basically got you into your first deal, yeah?
Yeah, it was my first deal, yes.
Yep. Excellent. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that? Because that was a subdivision deal, was it?
Correct. There was a little subdivision deal in a suburb called Norwood Lane. Norwood Lane is this quite low socio-demographic suburb in Geelong. And at the time when I bought there, I was looking between there and Franks North, and people were telling me, are you crazy? Like, why would you buy there? And I was like, well, it's either that or nothing. So I'd rather have something there and get in and learn the process. And my numbers were still stacking up, rather than wait until that perfect deal or perfect suburb or perfect something. So so that was my thinking. And I got in, I bought it for $221,000, and I went into subdivision process. And as I mentioned before, I just had to wait until I could save $5,000 to pay for the power pit, for the new power pit, or to wait until I could save another $8,000 for whatever plumbing job need to be done for the subdivision. But so it took me a little bit longer than, you know, than it would take if you do have cash sitting there or equity. But that's all right. It worked. And then again, I had to do it a little bit staged in a way that I had to subdivide. And because I didn't have enough deposit for construction to construct at the back, I had to subdivide, get the titles, revalue it, and use the equity from the reval as a deposit for construction. So but then I built at the back there, and I actually ended up keeping both properties because market has moved a little bit, which helped. So I pulled out quite a bit of equity. I think I pulled out, and then after reval, 130,000 from it. But the front house was actually, after this equity release, the front house was neutral and the back house was still positive. So I didn't need to sell them.
Awesome. So just to clarify, you get into a deal, you've only got $18,000 to get into it, not enough for a deposit. You loan from a friend to make the deposit to get in, and then you don't even have enough for stamp duty, so you go to a second lender and borrow the money for the stamp duty to get
That's
in.
Right. Yeah.
You then do the subdivision. Done the subdivision, you gain the uplift from the subdivision. You refinance, and then you go and build, and then you pull out 130k equity.
Yeah. Well, actually, I probably need to backtrack a little bit because, so while construction was happening, I actually got a new job kind of sometime around that time, which I'm still with the same job. And while the build was happening, essentially, again, I didn't have any equity to play with, but I had a job that I had serviceability. And I was like, well, maybe while I'm building, I can do something else with someone that has cash. And then I got together with someone from a community that was in the opposite position. They had cash, but no serviceability. And we went into a JV project to renovate another little place in Ballarat. So that was happening while construction was like in the making, I guess. And then
so you're doing two deals at the same time.
Yes, I guess. I feel like since that project, it's always been two at the same time. There's always something that you're finishing and something that you're starting, you know. So it's kind of like you always roll over to the next one while you have something else going on. Yeah.
Fantastic, fantastic, awesome. So that's, yeah, I got to say, I love the fact that you've started off, you've had to piece together and create the deposit to get into it. You've gone in and then you're just now expanding on this, and obviously the results are coming back to you. So just on that first deal, that was back in just a year after you joined, was that right? So you joined, that's, and then right. about a year later, once you'd made the deposit, yeah. That was your first deal from coming from pretty much nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
You know, Michael, at the time, it's quite interesting to think, because at the time, I remember hearing about all these people that either have a bit of equity and they're generally older, or someone that had parents, and I kind of felt a little bit jealous, you know, a little bit like, oh, like coming from nothing. But you know what, you create your own destiny and you do your own thing. And it's funny, because a lot of older people look at me and say, oh, you're so lucky you're starting out young, you know?
Yep. So,
yeah. But you make your own journey, and yeah, you just create your own success, really. Wherever you are, it doesn't matter, really. Like, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Awesome. Now obviously you've still kept those two.
Yeah.
And they're still positive.
They're still very positive, and you know, with the market shifting the way it shifted recently, clearly the value gone up. So there is more equity in there that we just, one of them we just released this for something else. Yeah.
Yeah, pulled out more equity. Awesome. Okay, so now during that deal, you did the second one, which you're talking about the joint venture. Do you want to run us through what happened there?
Yeah, so deal? Joint venture, that was probably, I guess, lack of knowledge, because we went into this renovation deal thinking it was going to take us 6 months in and out. And I thought by the time we finish this reno, I'll finish the build and done. But what happened is we went into this quite full-on structural renovation, converting three-bedroom, one-bathroom in the same walls. And doing my joint venture partner was doing a lot of work himself because it didn't work, and I was helping out on weekends. But it's, as you can imagine, with renovations, especially major ones, it dragged out from 6 months to 12 months. And unfortunately, our budget went over budget again, because we probably didn't know what it takes. And by the time we finished it, we put it on the market just before Christmas. It was 2019, November, December 2019, so going into 2020. So over Christmas, it didn't sell. And then pretty much pandemic hit, and we just couldn't sell it for some time. And then at that point, we were a little bit tired of that project. We just wanted to offload it and move on, whatever it takes. We just like, just get rid of it. But it didn't sell, so we put a tenant in, waited a little bit, waited for about 6 months, I think, and then ended up selling it later. So again, because it went over budget and it went over time, it didn't make as much profit as we anticipated. We came out from there with $26,000 each. So it's not a lot, but as Dibna always says, you can't go broke making money. So, you know, it's 26,000 plus all the learnings that we took from it, so which you can't take back. So that's, you know, you're still ahead. Yeah. And then we sold that in the middle of lockdowns, actually. I feel like a few of my deals were in the middle of lockdowns.
Yeah. And I've got to say that the thing that I'm hearing from this side is that you know, you're taking on a deal, you're going into a structural reno. Had the JV partner done a structural reno before?
No, neither of us have done. Yeah. No, yeah. He's very handy, but he hasn't done anything like that before, you know.
Yeah. So the really interesting thing is that you're going into a deal that you hadn't really done before, but you're like, you know, you're taking a little bit of a risk, but you still come out with a profit at the end of it, even though it's taken longer, it's cost a bit more. You haven't ended up lost, but the learnings would have been huge. There's a question here about the learnings. What do you think you've learned from that specific deal? Like, are you no longer like structural renos? No, I don't want to do them. Or are you now approaching them a little bit differently?
Yep, probably not a big fan of structural renos, or I think after that one I said never again renovation. And to be fair, right now I'm doing renovation, so I didn't quite listen to myself, but right now it's renovation subdivision, so it's a bit different. But I think the timing, I feel like maybe I'm a little bit ambitious with my time, because I feel like it always takes you almost double of what you think, and not knowing that, and not knowing what's required. And I think renovation takes a lot, and yeah, maybe we didn't have enough buffer in time and budget there to, again, it still worked at the end. And also I feel like we tried to do quite a lot of things ourselves, where now I would rather pay people to do things if I know they will do it, and you know, they'll do a professional job in half the time, and yes, maybe it costs, but at the end of the day, you know, it's my time that is valuable. So, but again, as we said at the beginning, when you start out, you just do whatever it takes. Yeah.
I'm hearing that phrase come up a lot from you, Maria. You do whatever it takes. Yeah. Yeah.
You do. You've got to do it, right? How else then?
Hey, now, that's everything to do with the second deal. Can I just ask a question about when you first, the first deal you got, and then you ended up pulling out 130K. Can you describe what was that like for you? Because from where we're listening, it's like you haven't really come from anything. You had to borrow to get into this deal, and then you've now gone and followed through, and you've ended up with 130K. What was that like for you? And like, did you like take yourself on a holiday, or did you kind of go, no, that's it, I'm going to go into the next deal? How was your response to that success?
Yeah, it's a good question, because I think we do need to reward ourselves. I didn't quite have that specific milestone. Now I'm going on this trip, like, oh, I'm buying myself something to reward myself, because I did have that next deal in mind. So I'm just, I actually was already negotiating on something else, just waiting for that equity release. However, I think I'm pretty, generally pretty good of having this life, like life, work, projects and fun balance. I always try to do fun things and go on quite a lot of adventures, time permits. So I think, I did go to Burning Man, which was my, I guess that was my reward to myself. However, I did use that 130,000 into deposit for something else. And I think one of my goals that is still a goal is to replace my income, or I guess that passive income idea. So I feel like I'm on a little bit of a mission to replace my income, and therefore, you know, I'm recycling, I'm rolling over, because currently I have a pretty good job and not bad pay. So, you know. So that's my everyday life. And then my property is like from one project to another until I can reach my ultimate goal.
Yeah, got it. Cool. And for those of you who don't know, Burning Man is, it happens over in the States, doesn't it? It's a bit of a big kind of festival that happens. Is it once a year?
Once a year, at the end of August. Yeah. It's, probably festival is the, an event, we can describe it as an event, because it has its own ethos and its own principles, and it's a quite unique place.
Yeah,
been a few times and planning to go again. That's definitely a life-changing event.
Yeah, I've seen some
someone's
footage.
Asking if I rent or I have a PPR. We can get to it. I actually still rent. I live somewhere that probably can't afford yet because of what happened in the marketing in the last couple of years. We rent here with my partner, but actually one of our goals is to buy our PPR hopefully this year. And I'll get to it because I'm jumping a little bit ahead, but currently I'm in the middle of subdivision renovation project. And my partner, which is, we only been together for a year. So we, at the time when I bought it 6 months ago, I didn't quite feel comfortable buying together, but I said to him, I'll help you to do, I'll show everything. So we bought him another deal, which is subdivision and tiny renovation. And we're kind of doing two deals at the same time. And we said, once both of them done, we probably the next one will be PPR deal. PPR, but I think PPR will be probably 1-3 or 1-4 units subdivision in Melbourne.
Awesome. Now we're backtracking a little bit, going
because
you've jumped around deal wise. So, yeah. So after the reno and structural reno with the JV, you did a commercial. Was that right?
It's kind of while structural reno happened, the construction of that first deal finished. So once the construction finished, I could pull out that equity regardless of the renovation with joint venture, because with the renovation there, I was on a loan. So I was the serviceability partner, but he was cash partner. So I didn't need to allocate any of my funds there. And then I had the equity. So I was negotiating that little commercial deal, and I got into negotiations in January 2020 and did due diligence, did all the, you know, research, et cetera. I was ready to sign a contract, went to sign a contract, and it was end of March 2020. And that week we got into lockdown. And I was like, not signing contracts. And I went back, but I didn't want to pull out. I just wanted to use it as a bit of negotiation, further negotiation. So I went back to the vendor, went back and forth. And mind you, the market was pretty flat then, especially in regional Victoria. This is a Shepparton. And so I went back and I said, look, there is a lot of risk right now. I will sign it, but I would like further reduction. So I did ask for further reduction, and we ended up signing the contract in April. And then I had 2 months finance close. And then by the time my finance close was due, it was June 2020. And we're in the middle of this like global pandemic right at the beginning of it. And nobody knows what's going on. And there was like that, you know, the fear and craze a bit. And come my finance day close, couldn't get hold of broker, but anyway, by the time I got hold of him, he's like, we can't get finance. We had to get public extensions, but then he's like, nobody would finance a retail space in regional sector. Wow. Right now. He's like, nobody would touch it. They just don't even want to know about it. And I was like, okay. And then I went to the vendor and I asked them for vendor finance. So essentially I used that money that I had for deposit to pay them deposit. And I said, will it be my bank for a couple of years? Because they own the property outright. They had it for many years. And so we did a vendor finance deal and we settled on it in July 2020. So that's commercial. That's three little shops in Shepparton.
Yeah. Now for those of you who didn't pick this up, this is just awesome, because you've got into a situation where you've controlled the situation regardless of what's happening in the market. I love this, because the market's turning, that there's this fear and concern, finance is dropping out, but you didn't, you just like, that's not going to stop you at all. It's like, how else can you be creative to do that? Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome result, hey? But then you also managed to reduce the price a little bit too on this one.
Yeah, so the price reduction, it was only low end purchase. I think when we started negotiation, it was 405. With due diligence and initial negotiations, we agreed on 368, and that's when I was meant to sign a contract. And then with lockdowns and everything else, I ended up buying it for 340 with three tenants. And actually, I never had vacancies there because my tenants are a dry cleaning business and a hairdressing salon and another shop that operates at all times. So
awesome. Yeah. It's got a good yield on it.
It has a brilliant yield. So with that one, although I didn't have vacancies, two of the shops for 6 months they asked to pay half rent, And even with half rent, the property was way positive. And right now it's yielding about 9.6%, just close to 10%.
Just under 10%. Awesome.
100%. It's amazing, that one. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is now adding to your goal of replacing your income, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Fantastic. Awesome. Okay, cool. So now that doesn't stop you as well. You know, you seem to be doing two deals at once all the time.
Well, yeah, it's usually like you finish one and you like, you know, and then you start something else because that one will finish, then you can focus there. And when this one's at the end, I can roll into another one, you know? So I always have two on the go, I guess. And then I bought the commercial one. Then we did have, you know, that probably a little bit of a break because there was, because of the lockdowns and pandemic and being in Melbourne, it has been very challenging here. But we sold that joint venture deal and then that freed up some of my serviceabilities. And then I was like, okay, what's next? And I quite like subdivisions. I prefer them to renovations, put it this way. They're easier to manage. I think it's more project management because I'm quite good at project management. So then last year I was like, okay, let's do another one. And then I was looking for another subdivision deal, and I got one. I signed one last September in Ballarat. I found a little corner block, 730 square meters block on the corner, and I signed a contract in September, which was middle of lockdowns in Melbourne, and I settled on it in November without seeing it. So the whole time we've been under contract.
This is due to lockdowns, yeah? Lockdowns, you couldn't get out to see it.
Yeah, lockdowns, so I couldn't get out there to see it because we couldn't leave house pretty much, couldn't go anywhere further than 5 kilometers. To be fair, I was, my job, I'm deemed the essential worker, but I just couldn't go to Ballarat.
Yeah, doesn't fit into the essential category.
So I bought this house unseen, really, and that's the current project. That's the subdivision renovation now, and just got planning permit a week ago and started the process. Yeah, but we have been renovating it since November, and I'm at that point that I'm tired of renovation. I'm like, okay, I'm ready to finish it. But the subdivision part, that's the exciting part now. This is the fun part. Yeah.
So renovation
is fun part for the first 3 months, and after that it's not.
now just out of interest as well, who's doing the work? Like, obviously, are you doing a lot of the work there? Are you getting tradies in?
So at this stage, it's both. So me and my partner, we're renovating there on weekends. So we have been doing a lot of work. However, I do have trades there. So, you know, my plumber, electrician, I do have a carpenter he comes and does quite a bit of work that we can't do. Although my partner is quite handy and he's used to be a landscaper. So he's very handy with tools and I've been painting the exterior now. So I do get others to do, but we have been doing a lot of work ourselves as well. But I think I would like to think it's my last reno, but I, for some reason, I doubt it.
Well, it's happened before, isn't it? Never again. Yeah. And then you go out and get another one. Yeah.
Never again for 6 months, you know.
6 months, never again. Yeah. Then 6 months later, let's do another one. Now, John's asked, how do you select your professional team, town planner, builders, and so forth?
With that one, so actually I have a brilliant team in Geelong, and that's the one that we recycle and we use it for my partner's project as well. With Ballarat one, it's interesting because I actually have asked, it depends. So usually I'll ask for a recommendation. It's someone from the community that used it. Sometimes just, you know, if I start from scratch in the area, it's like I'll ask for recommendations, or sometimes I just even Googling. And but, you know, it's interesting because in Ballarat, for example, the town planner that I have been working with, I probably will not use him again, you know? So it's kind of, sometimes you might go into a project and you might use someone and you're like, okay, I actually don't think we work well together, or I didn't like working with you. Or you can use someone and you're like, oh my God, I'll keep using you like whenever I need. So I do collect my team, and I think I have a brilliant team in Geelong area. I do have amazing contractors in terms of plumbers, plumber, electrician, carpenter in Ballarat, but in terms of land survey and town plan, I probably will not use people that I have worked with on this specific project, but but I think once you find your team, you just keep them and you just use them for the next project.
Awesome. And did you just, Marina, do you lean on the community a lot? Do you like ask questions in the community, or is it something
it depends. So we still have a little Platinum chat group and Platinum group that we've been running for many years. So every now and then I'll ask, but you know, sometimes we do projects like that people from our group haven't done in the area, or sometimes you don't quite get recommendations that you need. So then I just gotta go and try to research my own. Sometimes I'll call someone, it might be a town plan, and they might tell you, actually, I can't start a new project for another 3 months. So then I'll ask, do you have anyone you can recommend? And I go that way.
Yeah. And I should mention as well, because at a certain point in your journey as well, you continued to the training, you did the Ultimate, then you did the Quantum, and you also did Platinum as well.
Started with Quantum. So we never did the Ultimate on its own. We just started with Quantum, and then I rolled into Platinum. I did 1 year of Platinum.
Yeah. And then, of course, the Platinum community, you've kept in contact with as well.
Yeah, we actually still have our group that we catch up once a month, and you know, we have a little chat going from Platinum graduates in Melbourne. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Really, really cool. Cool to hear. Hey, now just with this deal, that this current one that you're looking at, the Renault subdivision, you've done the figures on that, because that was a bit of an ugly duckling, should we say, when you first got into it.
Very ugly duckling. I can't wait to finish it so I can post photos before and after. Because I think I'm pretty good with design and with transforming places. So I can't wait to see that complete finished project from what it was. Yeah, and so I can post them and share them. Yeah. Awesome. It was actually the ugliest house on the street.
And I have paid a visit to it, and I can back you up. It's not that pretty.
It was not that pretty.
So. I'm looking for it. I'll come back and drop in and see it. Yeah. Hey, so how's that going to stack up for you? Like, you know, feasibility and profit wise and so forth. How are you going to?
So based on the numbers that I've estimated on market numbers, my plan there to sell the renovated house and to build on a vacant lot. I intend to keep that new build. At the end, if the valuation and sale come to what I estimated, I think I can pull out 212,000 from it. To something else.
Yep. And have you got your next deal already lined up?
Not crossroads, but actually I meant to have a meeting with my broker after this, but he postponed it. And there's two deals that, one is the PPR that I mentioned, that me and my partner planning to get our own PPR and maybe to do 1 into 3 or 1 into 4 as a way, and kind of like maybe out of Melbourne. As well as I'm looking and I started negotiating on a commercial deal that is in Queensland, and seems quite positive, but you know, I just need to do further due diligence on it.
Awesome. So you're going to keep that kind of flow of having multiple deals on at the same time? Yeah.
And the other one as well that I want to do now is one of the goals for the year as well is to do another joint venture project, and joint venture with someone that I can run the project for them, I can do the subdivision, I can manage the build.
Awesome. Cool.
Probably towards the end of later in the second half of the year, because I'm planning to take 3 months off this year and go on my long service leave.
Bit of a holiday, hey?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe even Burning Man.
That's at the end of the year, yeah?
Yeah, someone's asking, do you live in Queensland? If not, did you find the commercial deal? How did you find the commercial deal? I don't live in Queensland. I used to live in Queensland when I first got to Australia, the first 4 years, but now I live in Melbourne. And in terms of a deal, to be honest, I have my criteria, what I'm looking for, and it's, you might have missed, but it's to replace the income. So I'm looking for positive cash flow deals, and I'm looking for the deals that I love is probably multi-tenancies, maybe two or three tenancies. And so I guess that's my criteria and that's what I'm looking for. So I would start to look for multiple tenancies and then have a look at their income and have a look at their leases and to kind of have a checklist. And it doesn't really matter to me where it's at, as long as it stacks up.
Because that's your objective, replace income at the moment.
Yeah, I've given myself 2 years. Earlier this year, I said in the next two years. Yep. So I'm like 3 months into my two-year goal to replace it, to actually be able to transition from full-time employment into property full-time.
Awesome. Okay, cool. And you're kind of certainly moving in that direction with that one commercial and the other original deal that you've got there as well.
Yeah, well, I've got the two original ones, the one commercial one that I kept, and the current subdivision renovation. I'm planning to keep the one that the new one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. Now that's pretty everything deal wise. Can you expand? Because we discussed a little bit about the finance with a commercial deal. Is there anything else, or is there anything else maybe you want to say about how you had to deal with that kind of situation? Can you expand on that a little bit more? The reason being is I want to kind of find out, well, thing that I'm hearing as well is that whenever a problem comes up, you're looking at a creative way to solve it. And I really want to kind of just find out what's your thinking behind this? How do you look at something and not get stuck on the problem and go, oh, you can't do it? Like, you know what I mean? You hear some people and they go, oh, I'm in a situation, can't get finance, so I can't do the deal. But you don't seem to think like that.
Yeah, I think there is. I feel like if there is a will, there is always a way, or most of the time there is a way. And, you know, maybe it's coming from, as I said, I'm a salesperson and generally don't take no for an answer. If it's a no, it's not for now. But I feel like there is many times there is a way, you know, because I feel like if the answer was no, say from finance one, if the answer was no, maybe if I didn't know what I know with learnings and with deepness, you know, teachings, I probably would have walked away, but I walked away, but then I think, okay, how we can make it work? And you always need to ask the question like, okay, if not this way, how else we can make it work? There is always issues, you know, every deal, there is always will be a problem. There is always will be something that you didn't anticipate or you didn't account for. And then you're like, okay, well, how we can solve it? And rather than walking away or rather than like, I don't know, just, yeah.
Problem solver. Mm. You're always a problem solver, yeah?
Yeah. But that's part of the deal, isn't it? Like it's, I don't think there is a project out there that didn't have issues. There's always something. Yeah.
Yeah. Good to hear. Question here. Kylie was saying, how do you manage business hours calls while working full time?
Yeah, that's a tricky part. I guess you just need to find time. And I mean, I work from home or I'm on the road. I'm traveling a lot. So I have this habit of calling while I'm on the road. So while I'm driving, I like making my phone calls. But otherwise, sometimes I'll allocate time in the afternoon a little bit. Sometimes I can block time, you know, like I can, okay, this is hour. Right now I'm blocking everything else. And that's what I need to get done. I'll put my like to-do list, what needs to be done. And then I just go through it.
Excellent. Now, one of the things I wanted to find out from you as well is joint ventures. How do you approach a joint venture? Because you wanted to get into another one. You've already got into one. And for those of you who do know, Tipna has a bit of a video on joint ventures, describes a little bit about making sure you do your own numbers, not reliant upon somebody else, and also do due diligence on the partner. Is this how you do it? How do you approach, working out with a joint venture partner?
Yeah, well, there's definitely two aspects. There's a due diligence on the deal, which, as I said, I'm generally the working partner, so I'll be doing the numbers. But if someone comes to me with numbers, I definitely need to double check them because, you know, you need to know what you get yourself into. And the other aspect is the person, because you really need to kind of I wouldn't go in the joint venture deal for the sake of it, or, you know, it just, you need to make sure that you can work with that person, that you can, that you communicate well, that you actually like really get along together quite well in order for project to be successful, because there's no point going into joint venture with someone that you can't stand, or you just like really don't like working with, because then just going to probably make it much harder.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you've done your joint ventures within the community, haven't you?
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. Okay, cool. Awesome. Cool. Okay. So Marina, how is your life different now from when you started? When you started, you didn't know anything, you didn't have anything, but.
Well, you know, it's so interesting because I feel like when I started and I was like, I want to do property, but I feel like just having one over your belt, people don't really take you serious. But now when they talk about property, people come to me with property questions. They're like, what about that? Or what about that? Or what do you think about that? Or when people like hear that you do property, they're like, oh yeah, wow, interesting. And as I said, I think I do have a goal to replace my income in the next couple of years. Quite ambitious goal, but I think it gives you a little bit of freedom, more confidence, you know, great community here.
Good. And so now it sounds like you're still kind of got a bit of an adventurous side to yourself of going out and doing things as well. Has that maintained, or are you now doing more of that?
Yeah, well, definitely would call myself adventurous. I still try to do as much as I can. And, you know, I guess the whole thing of property is to get your time. I think the reason why I'm doing it is time. And to be fair, I have been time poor in the last 6 months with the full-time job and Brenno's on the weekend, but we still try to do some fun things. You know, we do overnight hiking or overnight cycling trips, or, you know, like traveling, or, you know, burning mans and stuff. So I still try to do those things and try to do the things I love. And sometimes when I get a little bit like, oh my God, I'm too tired, I just, I'm so over this right now. I just need to remember why I'm doing it. Like, because for the bigger goal, so then I can do all the things that I love, or to have all the time that I need to, you know.
Yeah, cool. So good to hear. I really like to hear that you've got that good balance there as well.
Yeah, always try to have some fun.
Yep. Well, that's the app that Ibn has. You know, the now it's off the top of my head. You know, the app, the daily rituals that Ibn has.
Yeah, I haven't used that one. I do use other Digma's apps, but not that one. Yeah.
Cool. For someone who's brand new, who's just joined the community, and they're coming in, what kind of advice would you give them? What would you say to them and say, you know, if they're just starting out?
It takes the doing. So, you know, you just need to get up and do it. And so that would be my number one advice. The other one as well, you know, that many times that we can sabotage ourselves, or the fear comes in, or, you know, and it doesn't matter, just get out there and do it, because the learning that you'll get from it and the experience that you'll get from it definitely will propel you forward always. And just do no matter what it takes, you know.
There it is again. Do whatever it takes. Yeah. Awesome. If anyone has any kind of queries and questions, I think we might have a little bit of time here, or if there's anything else you wanted to say, is there anything else that you wanted to add that we might have missed?
I think it's just great to be part of the community, and, you know, great to be here finally. And I think I'm, you know, quite grateful for the whole journey and how I came across this whole community and Divna, and just love it.
And were you
taking me over the years, you know, at the end of the day you need to take actions, but it's, you know, all the support that you get around it is great.
Did you get inspired by some of the success stories of others when you first started?
That's actually one of the things that I really love, you know, to hear this other people's stories. It's, I get inspired by them, and it's usually, you know, I think, well, if they could do it, I can do it, you know. And you know, because everyday people like me, and if they can do it, of course I can. So yeah, that's definitely one of my inspiration.
Yeah, cool. So then, that being the case, have you put your story into the Isle of Lestate Super Conference?
No, not yet. Maybe once I get the PPI and that new commercial deal, maybe then.
Yeah, okay. Maybe you should. Yeah. That'd be good.
Someone just asked about the deal close to home. I think it depends what it is. I feel like there are deals that you can do far away from home. Because if it's more like project management, like subdivision, commercial deal, I think you can do it from being remotely. Renovation, personally, I don't think you could manage remotely. I think renovation should be close enough, and it's, in my mind, I think it's more time consuming, so it's a little bit more hands-on. Even if you don't do it yourself, you still need to choose the tiles and to choose the colors and all other things that I feel like it's a little bit more challenging to do remotely. That's from my experience. Yeah, depends on the deal and depends again how far you're prepared to travel.
Did you want to say a little bit about buying sight unseen as well? It's not something that Dipner recommends, but you kind of were put in a position where you had no real alternative. How did you manage that? And you know, how does it sit with you? Because it's not something that Dipner recommends, but it's something that you know, you do because it's essential. How did you manage that? And did it come out the way you anticipated?
I guess so. I mean, as I said, I did buy an ugly duckling, but I bought it for the land component. And I guess I did all the due diligence on the land, like in terms of subdivision, can subdivide, where the services are, et cetera, and the numbers and everything else. And, you know, like, so then, probably not ideal, but again, I knew what I wanted to do, and I had that land there, and it's not really easy to find corner blocks like that. So I was like, oh, I'll just do it. And I can't tell you that it's uglier than that's on the photos. It's actually matches the photos, but yeah, we're transforming it. So that's coming around good now.
Good. Awesome.
And
awesome.
Again, I'm not keeping that one. So it's kind of, you know, you're letting it go and, yeah, do what I need to do to fix it, make it pretty, and goodbye. Yeah.
Excellent. Good. Marina, thank you so much. Really appreciate you taking the time out. And yeah, if you can put in your story at the end of the year when Dipner puts out the questions for the super conference. Mm-hmm. See how you go. It'd be good. It'd be good to see if you can put your story in that a bit. That'd be awesome. So yeah, get a bit more detail and peg in the sand. Is that something that you use? Have you done Dipner's peg in the sand or goal setting or not? Or
I have done. I actually should revisit it and see where I'm at. I have done the original one in, I think, 2015 or 16 when I joined, and I have a feeling I've done it once again, and I haven't opened it. I should have a look at it.
You should.
To see how far I'm from what I set myself to, yeah,
do it and check it out, because the thing I know is that when students get up on stage and they're sharing their story with Dipner, they go, oh, Dipner, I just had a look at my peg in the sand, I haven't looked at, and they're sharing my story on stage with Dipner. It's written on there, so check it out, let us know.
Yeah,
will
do. Awesome, thank you, Michael.
Okay, cool, awesome. Look, thank you so much, really appreciate your time. Thank you everybody for joining in. It's so nice to see your comments coming through, in appreciation as well from John and Liz and others as well. So I'm so glad you enjoyed it. This is the Isle of Lestate Success Story Show. This is just sharing what other students have done. Thank you so much for joining us. This will be live on the Facebook, in the live stream that you can review there. We only get the edited version and we put it up onto the members only website, so you can review it there as well, so that you can be inspired to get out there and do something similar and share something and get your success in your own life, just like Marina has. So thank you so much, Marina. That's it from us. We'll end off there and have an awesome Friday afternoon and weekend. And I'm sure we'll see you at one of the upcoming events or online or in person at one of the boot camps coming up soon.
Awesome. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Marina. Okay. See everyone now. Bye.